In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We see in this gospel passage an opportunity to make a comparison, to see what it is like when one has faith versus when one does not. Remember what faith is. It's one of the theological virtues. You and I cannot manufacture it. It must come to us from God. And we must pray for it. It is a gift freely given by God that you and I do not merit. And faith by its very nature is our acknowledging the authority of God because of who God is. God is being itself. God is perfect. God is all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing. He is omnipresent, omniscient. He is immutable. And therefore, he is to be believed based upon the reality of who he is. Jesus, his Son, sent into the world, consubstantial with the Father, is God. Jesus cannot deceive nor be deceived. And therefore, we believe with faith everything he says, and our lives then are to reflect that belief. And certainly in a practical sense, people know that faith works in the human sense as well, in that you believe because of someone's authority. Too many people believed the Centers for Disease Control on this whole COVID fiasco. Too many people believed that they were incapable of lying. Too many people believed that they were like God, not able to deceive nor be deceived, but it is clear they were deceiving as well as being deceived. And so people are more inclined, unfortunately, in modern times to put more faith in human institutions than they are in God himself, because they're living lives that are so distant from God. And typically this gospel demonstrates to us what their lives look like versus what the lives of those who have faith look like. Consider, in the shorter form of this week's gospel, for the purposes of the sermon, you see Jairus, the synagogue official. He's been given the gift of faith. There are people crowding around Jesus, so much so that he can barely move. But this man, because of his faith, faith fosters determination, faith fosters confidence, faith fosters courage. And so he is able to make his way to Jesus and then plead with our Lord to come lay hands on his dying daughter. Mind you, he has such faith, the gift given to him by God, that he knows that all our Lord has to do is lay hands on her and she'll be healed. He doesn't blindly say, come and do something. Or he doesn't faithlessly say and demand that Christ, if you are God, the God of love, come and heal my daughter, as though the Christ was to be tempted, as some people approach our Lord today. No, he approaches with calmness, with confidence, with faith, with determination, and yes, a certain degree of desperation, but he knows Christ can do it. And that's the difference between people who have faith and people who don't. People who have faith know who Christ is, and they know what he can do. And therefore, they have total confidence in him no matter what. No matter how dark and how bad things seem to be. And so therefore, Jesus responds to Jairus' faith by going to his home. And now we see what it looks like when you're faithless. These are the benchmarks of people who are faithless. Consider the reality. Our Lord goes with the great apostles, Peter, James, and John. Not all of them. He only lets Peter, James, and John see the most intimate details and the greatest of mysteries with regards to these healings. But he lets them all see the great mystery of the Eucharist, to be sure. They arrive at the house, and there's a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. A benchmark of the faithless is they're always hyper-dramatic. And they always make a show because they draw attention to themselves. Oh yes, they tell themselves they're doing it out of charity. because it was the custom when someone died for the local villagers to gather all together in a group and go out to the place where someone died and to sing a dirge, a funeral kind of lament, and cry and weep. It's a worldly approach, never recommended by virtue of religion. And those who are faithless cannot face death, which is why they panic in its presence, by denying its existence. Because even those who would weep and make all this commotion and loud noise, they're distracting themselves from the reality that this girl has died. Because remember, Jairus is faithful, and he's going with Jesus. Already one of his officials who is faithless has come up and said, "Why bother the master? Your daughter's already dead." Remember, faithless people are always cynical, they're always dark, they're always negative, they're always self-centered, they're always self-absorbed, and everything's about them. And they're the first to criticize, the first to complain, the first to lament, the first to show no charity, understanding, or even patience. And so therefore, to him who is faithless, Jairus is a bother to Jesus. That's what our Lord says to him in response to this faithless man. And mind you, remember, our Lord is giving the gift of faith to everyone around him. People are rejecting it left and right. Our Lord does not force people to be faithful. He invites. He plants the seeds of faith. One has to act on them. One has to see God for who he is, which means you must see past yourself. And too many people do not want to see past themselves. Or they do not want to see past worldly institutions, or money, or fame, or power, or glory, or pleasure. And so they reject faith. But our Lord is almost speaking to that faithless man when he says, reassuring Jairus, "Do not be afraid." This man has come up and terrified the man. "Your daughter's dead, don't bother the master." Again, people who are without faith are dark and cynical and mean-spirited. But our Lord reassures him, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." When our Lord says it, he who is the Word made flesh, it becomes real. So he would be increasing Jairus' faith in that moment. And then, as I said, they come and find the commotion outside. The faithless are always dramatic. They always want everybody's attention. They always want to be seen and heard, always distracting people away from substance and truth, because they believe they're the only substance and they're the only truth. Because after all, you have to believe that God is not God in order to not accept the gift of faith. You have to believe that God is not God to not follow his commandments, the preeminent ones being, love him with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Show charity to your neighbor, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's difficult. And so our Lord gives the opportunity for the faithless gathered here who are making all this noise. He gives them the opportunity to accept the gift of faith. Why all this commotion? The little girl is not dead. She's asleep. The faithless always react to substance and truth and to holiness with laughter. It says, "And they ridiculed him," but a translation could also read, "And they laughed at him." See the hypocrisy. They're mourning and crying, "Oh, that poor little girl is dead. Boo-hoo, look at us, we care." And then as soon as Jesus says something they don't like that's more truthful, they start laughing at him. What a switch. The faithless are like that. One emotion after another, because that's all they worship themselves, and they get only a sense of meaning and purpose and drive based on their emotions, which typically are more negative than they are positive. So they ridiculed Jesus, they made fun of him, they laughed at him. And contrary to modern myth about Jesus being this pushover, this doormat that always wants people to be included and to give big bear hugs to whoever comes around him, the Greek is lost in the bishop's polite translation. Jesus put them out. Jesus kicked them out. He kicked them out. Get out. He commanded them to leave, and rightly so they did. That's what happens if you reject the gift of faith. Our Lord does not continue in an empty effort. He already knows what's in your heart, and so therefore you can come to the point where you are condemned to hell. The gift of faith has been so rejected, your conscience so warped by pride, selfishness, and sin, that you can't see your past anymore. You can't see past yourself anymore, I should say. And as a result, the gift of faith is inoperative. It's all about you. It's all about what you want, what you want to feel, what you want to see. Your neighbor, forget it. Jesus put them out. And then he calls the parents in, Jairus and his wife, and he goes to the child with Peter, James, and John watching. And he takes her by the hand and says those words that are the original tongue, Aramaic, Talitha kum. You know, Mark records these words in Aramaic because Mark got his gospel from St. Peter. Peter was there, and Peter knew it was important that you can't translate what the words said and the power of those words into Greek, or later on for us into English. They needed to be put in their original language. How important it was that our Lord simply commands her to get up and rise, and she does so. How practical faith is, too. It doesn't call you to something unrealistic and untenable. God never calls us to anything we cannot do, and he gives us the graces necessary to do it, because he himself did it when he becomes man. He shows us what faith looks like. Our Lady Mary Most Holy shows us what participating with faith looks like, with grace. She who is the mediatrix of all graces. And so, even in the practical sense, their faith being rewarded with that little girl being raised from the dead, the practical approach of our Lord, he tells them to get her something to eat. So complete is her healing by him that she is hungry. And he tells them to give her something to eat. Faith never calling us to what the devil wants us to believe are only superhuman feats. But faith calling us to truly human feats. Because remember, because of the envy of the devil, as wisdom told us in the first reading, man fell from grace. The devil wants us to be beastly, to be subhuman, to follow only our instincts, to follow only our passions, and above all else, to reject God and reject the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. But our Lord wants us to behave in a way that is truly human, and faith allows us to do that, to act as though we truly are made in the image and likeness of God, to act in a divine way, to act like the divine Savior. When you come forward to receive communion, remember that all the theological virtues are increased every time you receive the Blessed Sacrament, in particular, charity. And so, if you lack charity when you leave this place, you're one of those people that goes out and talks about what your neighbor is wearing or how the children are behaving. Know that you're not participating with faith, with grace. You're being faithless. Because Blessed Sacrament increases charity, which means you're supposed to be far more understanding, far more merciful, and far better in your attitude towards your neighbor. And that's the point of receiving communion, isn't it? To be transformed by Christ, to become more Christ-like, not to make Christ us. So your faith can be increased simply by asking our Lord once you've received him and go back to your pew. You can ask for an increase in faith that would allow you to be truly godlike in the sense that we are created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore we are not creatures controlled by our passions, our emotions. We're not supposed to be slaves to sin and death, but liberated in Christ Jesus who defeated sin and death for us. We are to be Christ-like. And if you pray to the Christ in faith, as Jairus came and said, "Lay your hands on my daughter, for she is dying," and she went ahead and died, and Christ still raised her, what will Christ do for you if you simply ask for an increase of faith every time you receive communion? If you ask for an increase of faith, then recognize it will call you to be self-critical, so that you'll stop being critical of others and be more critical of yourself. And then you'll begin to ask for an increase in hope and an increase in particular in charity. Because those three cardinal virtues put into us at our baptisms are everything, charity being the most. With faith, hope, and charity, indeed, we can be transformed to be like Christ. And you in particular as a laity, ambassadors of Christ in the world to draw all men to, not you, but to Jesus Christ. To draw all men into faith instead of leaving them trapped in the darkness, the cynicism, the error that comes from being faithless, therefore sinful and trapped in yourself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
I believe in one God, Father of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, of all.